Hello, everybody, and thank you for going first, Jinchen. So, first of all, I'll start by saying hi to everybody. Anin, Nijiag, all my friends. I see all of your light. So, first about me, for those of you who may know me or for those of you who may not know me as well, my father is a Mennonite from the South Bronx, and my mother is an Ojibwe woman, an Anishinaabekwe, from Winnipeg, Manitoba in Canada, who was adopted by Hoosiers. My mother's adopted father comes from a Mennonite family in Indiana. I myself came to New York City in the summer of 2017 and began a job as a delivery man and a cashier at the Whole Foods at Union Square, just a couple of blocks away from where Manhattan Mennonite Fellowship met in person, and hopefully will soon, someday again. soon after starting work at Union Square, I began attending Manhattan Mennonite Fellowship while also applying to Union Theological Seminary. Since I began school at Union, I have attended services less frequently. However, one service that I did attend caught my interest. Over a year ago now, before COVID traveled to this continent, I was surprised and excited to find that one of the songs sung at this particular service was in the language of my maternal ancestors, Anishinaabemowin. The song praised Gichimanito, the Great Spirit, the one who dreamed the world into being. The moment I heard the song, in which I heard the song emphasized how so much of my life has been shaped by the Mennonite Church. Coincidentally, I attended this particular service just as I was beginning to challenge myself to live more authentically by learning the language featured in that very song. I also had challenged myself to learn more about the life, ways, and wisdom of the Anishinaabe, whose blood flows in my veins. I was inspired to meet this challenge through the support, the teachings, and the caring ministry at Union. My goal as a student at Union initially was to become better informed about Christianity, a religion that has been so formative and giving to both my father and my grandparents, and yet has been a religion so thoroughly shot through with the pain of my mother's people. Upon starting my studies, I wanted to engage the Christian and Western ethical traditions towards which I have had mixed and painful feelings throughout my life. I decided to embark on this intellectual and yet very personal journey in order to better center and ground myself before attempting to engage the challenges to justice that are found in the world. And I intend to meet these challenges as a law student this coming fall. I hope to be a lawyer in the service of environmental justice in the future. And to this end, I studied liberative ethics at Union. And just recently, I had finished a thesis where I had used Tracy West's liberative ethics to make an argument against climate change. Despite Christianity's fraught history, I have always been impressed by its ability to inspire individuals to be profoundly good and daring human beings in the face of the powerful. I noticed how those who have most fully and consistently dedicated themselves to justice have often had that little something extra, an X factor, that gives them the courage to do what is right, even at the cost of their lives and their livelihood. This something extra has often been faith in the God of Abraham. People with this faith who come to mind include Harriet Tubman, Martin Luther King, Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz, otherwise known before as Malcolm X, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Bryan Stevenson, and many, many others. in the case of the Christians on that list, I wanted to know more about the man, Jesus, who both inspired and instructed them to live the way that they did, and they do in the case of those who are still living. Jesus, is a man who is separated from us by 2,000 years in both the Atlantic Ocean and the Mediterranean Sea. And yet has had such a immediate and contemporary effect on our world. I was inspired by and impressed by what I learned about his life at Union. I learned about this man's ancestors who had suffered great political and physical loss under the powers of Egypt, Babylon, Hellenistic Greece, and Rome. I learned about how he and his people have gained immortality in their wisdom and in their steadfast resolve to stay true to themselves. Some succeeded in combating assimilation, ethnocide, and genocide committed by empire, and many did not. However, their immortality, besides as souls and spirits, live on in their writing and in their teaching. The Anishinaabe have also proven similarly resilient, and I now feel a stronger and more powerful kinship with the Christians who keep the tradition of justice alive through their lives, their actions, their love, and their love.
Thank you. I'm happy to have this chance to share a little bit like how I start explore the idea of going to seminary. And then everything started when I was in Lesbos and then had this conversation, this email checking with Pastor Jason. So my beginning idea comes from two experiences in 2018. So when I was working with refugees, I was really troubled by the sign of the cross being used to divide insiders, outsiders, like who are the first to the island and who are the refugee, the illegal. And then at the same time, that was in Taiwan, what happened is we were going to pass the same-sex marriage law. But the Christian leader, they unify their voice against the community. So what we hear, like for most of the young Christian, we hear from the church leader is we don't talk about gender identity, we don't talk about inequality. They even like blacklist teacher who are teaching sexual education, who are talking about hotline, talking about gender hegemony in the class. So they formed some kind of social pressure to stop sexual education in Taiwan. And then later on, they even wanna form a political party. So for a lot of Christian like me, we feel that then what and how can we talk about our body, sex, and then also make sense that our body is inside Christian teachings of love and justice. And then how do we talk about this without offending our church leaders? So we feel the internal dialogue is closed, but then the church leaders, they only want to form a political party to expand, to gain their power, to gain more power. So quickly jump to today's reflection, like in Union, like I think I really appreciate my learning experience. I benefit a lot from the voice of different people. I will call them heresies now. For example, like the black voice in modernization, like, or the woman in the industrial revolution, or even think about the beginning of Anabaptism to be the outsider of the mainstream. So I think to learn about different voices, like the heresies, is very important, because in Taiwan, we thought, like, or at least I thought Christianity is one unified voice, never thought about how much different voices have contributed to shape love and justice inside the religion. So I think Black woman's experience and woman in industrial life, woman's experience in modernization and industrial revolution really helped me to expand, to hear more voice, like the voice of physical, economic, and social cultural voice from people who are social culturally deprived and physically economically disadvantaged, and then also see them that they are not voiceless. They have their voice. So from those, listen to those different voices in Union, I realized like every voice, they speak about their ideal picture of religion. And maybe they are not familiar voice to the society, and sometimes they were not welcomed to the society, to the history, but they are bold. They boldly announce who they are, and then in as they look for healing and justice, and for their individual salvation. So on this foundation, I see like identities are critical bridge to connect with God. So, and then also the identities are fluid about who one is and who I am. And then I think about the possibility of re-examining identities as they are formed at the borders, not formed at the mainstream society. So thinking about the border is the spirit of God. So back to think about refugee issue, that like a lot of time we are talking about I am a citizen because I am not the one who crossed the Mediterranean Sea. But then we can, if we think about we are all from the border, then we will say, I become a citizen because I crossed the border. So then I think also think about gender and sexual identities. Then we are both heterosexual and homosexual, male and then female. And then as one individual and society, we are the bodies of bisexual. So I feel Union start to help me to dialogue, to open dialogue inside myself. I feel this is a journey for me, happen inside myself first. And then I hope that this journey will continue bring me to dialogue with the church and also with the people in Taiwan with these two issues I concern most. Thank you so much.